The opinions expressed by the guests, listeners, and hosts on any of the programs on Time for an Awakening Media are not necessarily the opinions of the ownership or management of this station.
Now is the time.
Everyone please observe the fasten seatbelt and no smoking signs have been turned on. Sit back and enjoy your...
Do not panic! Do not panic! We are trained professionals!
The clock is ticking and as of now we are keeping score.
And good morning. Welcome to SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I am your host and executive producer, Troy Wilmore, talking about anything and everything in the great world of sports. Once again, a great week chock full of sports news and information. I'm giving you the phone numbers right off the top. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You can send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. Facebook is Saturday Sports Talk. Twitter is SST_sports. And you can send us an email at SaturdaySportsTalk@gmail.com. Definitely want to talk about the Delaware Valley is just buzzing with college football, college basketball. You know, the Phillies are in that winter fall meeting mode and looking at free agency and some things. So we'll talk about that as well. Flyers are struggling. Sixers are playing well. Just a chock full of sports. And, you know, it's probably no sports city better than Philadelphia. You know, we have all four major franchises playing within the city limits, and that's a trivia question coming up probably later on, either today or maybe next week, as far as which cities in the United States have all four major sports teams playing within the city limits. So I'm giving you a little teaser. We may save that for next week so you have time to Google it, and you can win a fantastic prize, probably a t-shirt from one of our lead sponsors from Party Savers. Just an outstanding company. You'll hear more about them later on in the show. But that's a trivia question I think I discovered several years ago. And franchises have moved just a little bit, maybe outside of the city limits of different cities, things of that nature. So we'll talk more about that maybe this week, maybe next week. But like I said, it's just a chock full of sports news. Like I said, any city probably in the United States, we can talk about just a lot of things going on in boxing, some social media wars, a little buzzing. Eddie Chambers, who's from Pittsburgh, who lived in Philadelphia for some time, and we've kind of adopted him. Something buzzing with Anthony Joshua. I'm not really sure if it's all true because, you know, people's social media accounts get hacked or people, you know, borrow people's phones or whatever. So there's a little buzz maybe of an Anthony Joshua, Eddie Chambers fight. And there was a big heavyweight fight last week. I've got 25 notepads running around and we can talk about that. I did promise you, or make a commitment at least, that we were going to talk boxing, talk about the various organizations and the champions. I have that research over here. We'll get to that. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things where you have to buckle your chin strap just a little bit more, bite down on your mouthpiece just a little bit more to talk sports today. Because like I said, it's just, like there's a song by Beanie Siegel says, feel it in the air. And you can feel it in the air. I mean, Phil Collins did it too, but you know, Philly's own Beanie Siegel did a song, feel it in the air. And just, you can just, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the crispness of the temperature now here in almost the end of November, as quickly as October got through here. And I can just feel it. So we have to just pace ourselves. You know, the Philadelphia Marathon is going on. So this isn't a 400 meter sprint through this show. We're going to pace ourselves and just run a marathon. So we will definitely get to that. You know, shout out to the Philadelphia Phillies organization as they had the memorial service for Roy Halladay this past week. And there was about 1,000 people on hand for the celebration of life for Roy Halladay at Spectrum Field in Clearwater, Florida. His wife just gave a very emotional speech, one that a lot of people on social media really appreciated. And, you know, they're praying for her. She'll never be the same. The family will never be the same when you lose a loved one, and especially with the holidays now, you know, it's probably the worst time for this tragedy to happen. One that definitely was not planned, definitely was not expected. There was no illness, you know, where you have to deal with that. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, they have to deal with this. So we lift them up in prayer as well. Switching over to hockey, I don't know what's going on with my Flyers. They're losing. They're not playing well at all. You know, I wish them well. I have my Flyer slippers on. And, you know, I love the game of hockey. I don't understand all of it. I've been to one game. I watch it when it comes on TV. Great athletes. Just the way that they handle the puck, skating up the ice, avoiding checks, goalies making saves and blocks. It's just a fantastic sport. And even if you don't understand all the rules, that's okay. I mean, you know, when the puck goes in the goal, and, you know, the referee signals it's a goal, and you hear the horn and the celebrations, you understand that part. You see when they make the great stop. So you can still watch hockey and not understand all the penalties and power play, icing, face-off, all the different terminology. So if you haven't watched a hockey game, I suggest you tune in and watch some hockey. I believe they're playing this afternoon. Let me give you a quick recap. Lost the game last week against the Minnesota Wild, 1-0, then had to fly out to Minnesota on Tuesday. Lost another one, 3-0. Turned around Thursday night, lost in a shootout to the Winnipeg Jets, 3-2. So now they're trying to turn things back around with a record of 8-8-3. This afternoon at home, Wells Fargo Center, 1 o'clock game. The Calgary Flames come in from Canada with a record of 10-8. So the Flyers really had to turn things around, getting ready to go into the holiday season and, you know, just trying to stay competitive, stay within the top rankings because you want to be right there when it's playoff time. So they have the Vancouver Canucks on the 21st, the New York Islanders with a back-to-back home-and-home series on the 22nd and the 24th. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. And then the dreaded Pittsburgh Penguins on the 27th. So, wishing big ups to my Flyers and hope that they can turn some things around. The Sixers. Where should I start with the Sixers? Well, I kind of expected them to get blown out by the Warriors last week. Even though they did put up 114 points, the Warriors put up 135 points. I mean, the Warriors are just that good. But the Sixers, they have that P word. They have that potential. And they are holding their own. They're playing well. People are staying healthy. They're learning where to play. And I said that weeks ago. Team sports is about people being healthy and knowing where to be on the floor, on the court, on the field, on the ice, on the pitch, whatever surface they're playing on. You have to know when we call a play, you know, 27 scatter, you know where everybody's going to be. For example, in football, if I'm the quarterback and I get the call from the sidelines, coach says, okay, we're going to run a 37 cheesesteak. Let's just say that's the play. And that's me handing the ball off to the running back.
This call is being recorded.
And the running back has to go out wide. So the guard and the tackle and the center have to know where they're running to. So that's why when you hear people talk about sports and they talk about football and the offensive linemen knowing which way to go, which way to block, that's what that means. Same thing with the Sixers. They have to know where on the court, whatever play is called, where to go. And the Sixers are playing well. So they took that loss. They dealt with the Clippers on Monday, 109-105. Lakers on Wednesday, 115-109. And then the Warriors come to town tonight. So maybe playing at home, probably in front of a sold-out building, the Sixers will play much better against the Warriors and maybe give them another loss. I mean, the Warriors are coming in with a record of 11-4. The Sixers right now are 8-6. So they're playing much better than this time a year ago, and they don't have all the players. Markelle Fultz is out. You know, like I said, they're still trying to get used to playing with each other. So we'll talk more about that as well. Here is the update from Bobby Marks of ESPN, who gave the update on the confirmed salary on Robert Covington's renegotiation and extension. $16 million, $10 million, $11 million, $12 million, and $12 million. $62 million. $62 million. So the Sixers and the front office believe that Robert Covington is a big piece of the puzzle. Plays well. He's a very long player, as they say, in height. A very good player. And, you know, they have the collective bargaining in place, so he's definitely probably right there with that type of money. And there's one of the funniest things I've been listening. Sometimes I don't listen to local sports talk radio for a lot of reasons. Sometimes they don't talk sports all the time. This show right here is sports all the time. From first quarter to the fourth quarter, from the start to the finish to the kickoff to the end, this is a sports show. We're not talking about cheerleaders, what they're wearing. We're not talking about which players are dating who. Not talking about any of that. This is a sports show. This is a sports show for the people, for the fans. It's not all about me. I get the information. I decipher the information. I want your opinion, your feedback. That's what this is. So I actually, you know, listened to a little bit the other day, and they were talking about LeBron James coming to the Sixers. So we can talk about that a little bit later on in the program. A lot of other things we'll talk about. Joel Embiid had a great night the other night. I'll give you more about that, but we'll take a call here before the end of the first quarter. I'm telling you, time is flying. I don't know where it's going, but somebody needs to get the emergency brake and slow it down, because I'm having fun already and the show is almost over. It just started. So let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on Saturday Sports Talk, the best sports show. 2 hours of sports news and information. How are you today?
Hey, brother number 20.
What's happening,
How
Joe?
How you doing, Troy?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm doing pretty good, Troy. You know, when you was talking about the Robert Covington contract, see, it just reaffirms in my mind, brother Troy, when I see a lot of these young African, because, you know, I mean, athletes, period, but especially when you're African-American, you always tend to look at your own color in a different light, you
yes.
know? And it just pains when I see some of these brothers just had opportunity to make millions. They just doing stupid stuff, whether it be drugs, you know, domestic abuse, whatever they get themselves involved in. Because, like you said, look, Robert Covington money, you know, it may not be Warren Buffett money, but how many people do you know, Troy, on the personal note, black, I'm talking about male or female, that's making $10 million a year or making $1 million a year?
I don't know that many, not that I know of.
Friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? And here these guys can make it, and they sit there and do dumb stuff to jeopardize it. Because, for example, Troy, look at Tony Romo. Now, Tony Romo, conceded his job last year to Dak Prescott.
Yes.
You know, and they put up on ESPN the other night during the game, I think on the Thursday night game. They said, now, even though Romo's not with the Cowboys no more, he's still counting against their cap. The Cowboys got to pay him next year, Troy, for six, 7 minutes behind being a broadcaster. Now, I'm not hating on the man. God bless him. He's making good money as a commentator now. It's normal to be a decent commentator. I have to admit that.
He's getting better.
He's getting better, exactly. Next year, Brother Troy, and to the SST listening audience, Tony's going to make $8.9. The Dallas Cowboys got to pay him $8.9 million next year. How many people, Troy, wouldn't you like somebody to give you a check for $8.something million next year?
Sounds like the old contract that Doug Moe had from the Sixers when he was the coach. I think he was on the payroll maybe 3 or 4 years after he was already fired. I mean, that's a great contract.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You're right, Troy. I remember that. I mean, so you can make ridiculous amounts of money, man. That's why I say that these guys may do stupid stuff. Like, for example, Troy, I'm still upset now. And that's where Jerry Jones going to have to get himself. He's going, and look, I'm down for giving people a second chance, but at some point, Troy, when you get third and fourth chance, you just keep messing up. At some point, you got to cut ties loose. The brother for the Dallas Cowboys, you know, he's the reason why the Cowboys' defense is so shaky, because had he been on the field, he would be a major player. And the Cowboys took a chance. That's why I say, Troy, some people in life, they don't appreciate when God gives them a second chance. The kid the Dallas Cowboys drafted, Randy, I can't think of his last name, escapes me at the moment. He was a top-notch defensive lineman out of college. Matter of fact, he would have been the number one pick, but because of his drugs and getting in trouble with the law, he dropped down to, like, number four. But the Cowboys still took a chance on him because he's so talented. So
okay.
The kid can play when he's right. He can be one of the best in the game. But, of course, you know, this season, Troy, he's suspended for the whole season. Because he kept, you know, I'm saying to myself, how stupid can you be? The Cowboys take a chance on you and stuff. You still haven't learned your lesson. You still can't keep drugs out of your system. This guy, he's going to lose a whole year's salary this year. I mean, just dumb stuff, man. And here's, like you mentioned, Robert Covington numbers. Here, Robert Covington, like you said, Troy, you broke it down, $10 million, $12 million. Man, Troy, for that kind of money, Troy, I would be a Boy Scout. I mean, brother, you're always going to keep my nose clean, brother. I would be, like I said, I'd be like angelic out here, man.
Well, I think
that kind of money.
But, Joe, I think there are guys that understand, you know, back in the day, the way they were raised, you know, eating peanut butter and jelly or canned noodles mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. I think some of them are blessed with the knowledge and stay grounded and stay humble, as well as, you know, having parents and a great support system. So some of them have that. And some of them don't squander their money. Others, mm-hmm. unfortunately, don't have that type of support system, and their money is gone. I mean, I take a lot of pride in knowing Mike Tyson, the little bit that I know of him, and wishing mm-hmm. that I could have been in his ear. I didn't need any of his money. I just believe that the story that was told to us and the way he was raised and the issues that he had, if he had someone in his ear, whether it was me, Johnny Sample, Sonny Hill, Rob Murray, all mm-hmm. the legends that knew how to get to him and save him from making those mistakes. But Mike's doing mm-hmm. okay now. But when you have
true.
$30, $35 million or $200 million and it's all gone, you know, if there were people that can get to some of these athletes, they would see, you know, if you can have like a time machine, look in the mm-hmm. mirror and see where you were and where you are and where you could be. A lot of players probably would make those decisions a little bit smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that I think is disturbing sometimes that they don't look in the mirror and say, yeah, I used to have to sleep on the floor and wear my cousin's pants, my brother's shoes, and eat canned beans for a whole week. Now I can go in and buy out the bar and go get all this fancy food, but don't realize, okay, but 3 years from now, I could be back to eating canned beans and canned noodles, you know? And that's where I think, like I said, some players have good support systems. Some don't. And that's one of the reasons why I think with this program, especially as we look at high school and college athletes, to let them know, we don't want your money. We want you to be successful for your family and for your generations. Looking for a check from, you know, the starting defensive end from Overbrook High's football team or the starting power forward or their basketball team. I want them to make me proud because I walk those same halls. So if they grew up at 60th and Columbia, you know, in the hood, went to school, got great grades as they're supposed to, grades come first, and then they excel on the field or the court, graduate, go to college on scholarship, get drafted in whatever sport and make millions and continue to make millions and retire and continue to make money, I'm proud. Malik Rose. Malik Rose is probably one of the best examples of somebody who came through the system the right way.
That's true.
And I've been friends with Malik Rose for 25 years and never asked him for a dime.
I know you can try to know what kind of character person you are, Troy. You just want to see these brothers be successful in life. You're not trying to get in their bank account and their pocket. You just want to see them do well.
That's right.
You know, if you're doing any kind of financial work or charitable work and they still want to contribute or whatever, fine. But you make sure you're not trying to push up on them like that.
That's
you know what I mean? And that's what it's all about. Like I said, I want to see these brothers, like I said, Troy, I want to see these brothers do well as a black man. It pains me to see these brothers wind up broke and destitute, man. I'm like you, Troy. I stand on my own 2 feet. I'm not trying to get these brothers a wallet. I want to see these brothers do right by themselves and their families, man.
That's right, Joe.
That's the whole bottom line of me. And you know, Troy, you made a good point about having people in your ear. I look at AI's mother.
Yes.
And Michael Carter Williams' mother. See, both of these mothers had the wisdom to make sure that their sons had some kind of trust fund. When he turns 55, I heard he'll get $1 million a year for the rest of his life. See, that was smart on his mother, Miss Annie Iverson. She was smart. Same with Michael Carter Williams. His mother set up a similar fund for Michael, so when he's not playing ball no more, he'll have a nice nest egg put away. See, that's again, like you said, Troy, that's all that support system, having somebody in your ear that's looking out for your interest. They're not hanger-ons. They're not yes men and no men telling you what you want to hear. These are people that care about you, and they're looking out for your long-term interest. So you spot on that, Brother Troy.
I appreciate that, Joe.
You're welcome, Troy. Well, Troy, you have a good weekend.
Well, before you run, Joe, because you have admitted that you are a Dallas Cowboy fan. So my question,
everybody, Troy, I might get beat up today.
No. So my question to you is, are you confident that your team, without Ezekiel Elliott, without your left tackle, without Sean Lee, your linebacker, are you confident tomorrow night, national football, 30 other teams will be watching? Are you confident your team, A, can win, B, stay competitive, and C, really have a shot at the NFC East?
Well, to be honest with you, Troy, at this point, even if we beat the Eagles tomorrow night, it's still going to be kind of tough for us to catch them because they had lost to Atlanta. See, actually, the loss to Atlanta and even the loss to the Eagles right now won't be that bad. But when we blew those two games at home, the Green Bay and the Rams, when we was ahead and we lost both of those, them the two games that's coming back to bite us right now. So even if we beat the Eagles tomorrow, catching them is going to be kind of tough. But my whole thing, like I say, Troy, is I just want to see the Cowboys, if they can win tomorrow and use that as momentum to get into the playoffs. Because, see, the way football is now, Troy, the best record don't mean anything in football no
That's
more.
That's right.
See, the new season starts. So I'm hoping that the Cowboys can get in the playoffs, get Ezekiel back, and they get some of them other guys healthy, Sean Lee, and then we get hot in the playoffs. Because, like I said, the Steelers and the Patriots over the years, they have got hot in the playoffs and rode their momentum all the way to the Super Bowl. So that's my concern right now. I'm just being realistic. I don't know if we can catch the Eagles or not, but I just hope we can beat them tomorrow and just win enough games to qualify and get a wild card spot and just take it from there. Because, like I said, when you can be 13-3 as the Chicago showed last year, but in the playoffs you both 0-0.
That's
you
right.
You lose one game, you're going home. It's not like basketball, baseball. You can come back the next day. So at this point, I just hope we can win tomorrow. Now, do I think we're going to win, Troy? It's going to be tough because, you know, we're in demand. But you know what? This might be the type of game where the Cowboys might, knowing that they're desperate, they might just play out of their minds tomorrow. Because they are at home and they got the crowd behind them. They can jump on the Eagles early and stuff like that and keep it close. I think the Cowboys got a chance tomorrow. Will it be tough? Yes. But I think we can win. I think Dak Prescott can put the team on the shoulders tomorrow. And we still got enough skilled people like Jason Witten, Beasley, and even if Dez is not 100%, we still got the boy Butler. So we got enough skilled people, McFadden and Mars running. Man, we got enough skilled people we could possibly still pull off the surprise win tomorrow night. I think we can win.
All right. Well, that's a true fan. And I like, yep. You know, that's one of the things when it comes to sports talk with me. You know, people always want to, you know, tease me about all the teams that I ride or die for, you know, as a Philadelphian, born and raised here, you know, school, work, everything, the whole nine yards. But even if someone that is born in Philadelphia, and if they're not born in Philadelphia, to have that type of respect like we just had is what I love about sports. When people start getting physical, I don't have time for that. You know, my team is better than your team based on this, that, or the third, and just keep it moving. When you start getting physical, you know, that's just overboard, you know. But, Joe, I appreciate that.
Hey, Troy.
Yes.
Can I say one more thing, Troy?
Yes.
I've been nippy, but so you have a knack, Troy, for saying stuff that's so timely. This is no lie. I was talking to a brother downtown. He's just the honest guy, truth to you in the audience. This brother was a Cowboy fan, and he told me, he said, bro, you know, because he had on a Miles Austin jersey and a Cowboy hat, and we got to talking and stuff, and he saw my Cowboy hoodie, and we got to talking. So he was saying, man, I got a lot of friends that's Eagle fans and family friends. So I'm surrounded by Eagle fans. He said, but, you know, he said, I'm all cool with the back and forth. He said, my only problem, I hate when people take it to another level. He said, whether it be Cowboy fans or Eagle, but they want to fight somebody. He said, not even about that, man.
That's
it's
right.
About the rivalry, the fun. And he was saying he was in a sports bar, and he said that, you know, last year, and he said during the Eagles Cowboys, this guy wanted to fight. He was an Eagle fan. He wanted to fight him because he had his Cowboy stuff. When he had a couple of drinks in him, he wanted to get aggressive. And I'm saying it's not even about that.
That's
man.
Right.
Had a good fun. Enjoy the game. And if the Eagles win, if the Cowboys win, whoever wins, you know, it don't have to be no physical thing. It's not even about that, man. When people take stuff to the extreme, Troy, that's when stupid stuff like that happens, Troy. So your point is definitely well taken, Troy. It's not about that. Like,
I appreciate it,
Eagles,
Joe.
If the Eagles, win tomorrow night, my friends gonna call me up on the phone. They gonna razz me. I'm cool with that. We've been doing that for years to each other.
That's
know?
Right.
And we just leave it at that. You know.
That's what it's all about, Joe.
Thanks, Troy.
Have a good one.
You too, my brother. Bye bye.
Right. I appreciate that. That's Germantown Joe. I've known Joe probably about 25 years, and we've always just had a great rapport when it comes to having talks about sports and just about life in general. You know, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And so, you know, I just want to appreciate Joe for being a supporter, a listener, calling in, giving his opinion. You can hear the passion in his voice, how much he loves sports. So when I talk to somebody that loves sports, that has the respect, you know, it just makes you feel good. You know, like he was talking about the guy he saw downtown, you know, wearing a Cowboys jersey, and they talked, but then he went into a Philadelphia bar and he wanted to fight. That's where you have to stop. You know, you can be a fan and be respectful of someone that does not like your team. You know, at the end of the day, you talk your smack, shake hands, pound, dap, or whatever, and just keep it moving. You know, I was teasing a guy the other day who's wearing his Cowboys hat and scarf and all that, you know, and he wanted to talk, and I talked. And at the end of the day, pound, dap, handshake, keep it moving. But I wasn't going to, you know, try to take him down and take his legs out from under and get on top of him and pound him through the floor. You know, that's ridiculous. Why would you even risk messing up your career, your family, your livelihood, everything? Because then you're facing an assault charge. Use your brain. Think about it. 215-490-9832. End of the first quarter already. So let me make a quick transition. When we come back, I have about another 75,000 stories to get to. But we're going to have a lot of fun. We've had some fun already in the first quarter. Second quarter coming up. I'm pumped up. I got my chin strap on. I got my green face paint. My Flyer slippers, Phillies t-shirt. I don't have anything with Sixers. Anybody want to donate some Sixers paraphernalia? Just send it over. 215-490-9832. On Facebook at Saturday Sports Talk. On Twitter at SST_sports. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
This is Bernard the Executioner Hopkins, the undisputed middleweight champion of the world. You are listening to the Saturday Sports Talk Show with Troy Wilmore.
And we're back. Second quarter is already upon us. I'm just having fun. I have to really take a deep breath, exhale, and just let you know that you're listening to SST Saturday Sports Talk, most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I am your host and producer, Troy Wilmore, talking about anything and everything in the world of sports. Like I said, you know, pretty much any American city, you're having, you know, tons of sports right now. This is probably one of the best times of the year because you have college football, college basketball, pro football, basketball, baseball just wrapped up. Hockey is going on right now. So a lot of great sports to sit back and watch. You know, it's just a great time of the year to be a sports fan. So let's try to give you some more updates on what's going on when it comes to the world of sports. You had Villanova just crushing Lafayette 104-57 yesterday in college basketball. Other scores from around the Delaware Valley. Charleston Classic 88-74 winners for the Temple Owls. They have Clemson in the finals. Drexel won a game against Houston 84-80. That tournament was supposed to be in Puerto Rico, but due to the hurricanes, they had to move that game to, I think it was Virginia, I heard. So college basketball is rolling right now, and we're just going to keep up and hope that some of those Delaware Valley schools can get into tournaments, whether it's the NIT or the NCAA, in March for March Madness and, you know, get a championship victory back in the Delaware Valley. Villanova won it a couple years ago. Quick story. I saw a friend of mine's, Ron Wilson, who used to play. I think Ron played at Villanova, played with the Globetrotters and played with some of the developmental leagues back in the mid-90s. And I saw him, I guess it was that Friday or Saturday when Villanova was in the Final Four. And I told him, I said, don't worry, we got this, we got this. And I saw Johnny Dock, labor leader for IBEW Local 98. And I said the same thing to him. I said, don't worry, we got this, we got this. And I hadn't really kept up with Villanova, but, you know, this was, you know, just me talking, really believing that Villanova was going to win. And Villanova won the championship. So when I saw Coach Jay Wright, when they were being honored down in City Council Chambers, you know, I said hello to him. I had met him years ago. Great guy, great coach. I said to him, I talked to Ron, I talked to Johnny Dock, and I told him, I said, don't worry, we got this, we got this. And he just laughed and was happy. The players were down there with the trophy. You know, I had to look up about 6-7 inches to see all those guys. You know, just an outstanding bunch of guys and outstanding program over on the main line, if you will, of Villanova. So hopefully they can keep rolling, get back in the picture. Temple's playing well. Temple has a great team with Shiz Alston and the rest of the guys up on North Broad Street. Coach Fran Duffy, legend in Delaware Valley, has those guys rolling. So hopefully he can get them in the tournament. Coach Martelli, someone I've known for a lot of years over at St. Joe's, hopefully he can get those guys rolling as well, get them in the tournament. So let's just hope that the Delaware Valley can produce a lot of teams in the tournament, and hopefully in different brackets, so they don't have to play each other before they get to the Final Four. So it'd be nice to have, you know, three teams from this area make the Elite Eight or even the Final Four, and then fight it out and then go to the championship and win it all. So we'll see what happens with that. A couple other notes that I wanted to go over real quick. So last week was a great week, or especially on Sunday, for people watching the scoreboards for the NFC East, as you had the Minnesota Vikings beating the Washington team 38-30. The Giants, who are just a bad team, lost to the 49ers 31-21. And then I took a nap, dozed off, and end up going back to sleep. The Cowboys were leading the Falcons, and next thing I know, I woke up the next morning, and the Falcons actually beat the Cowboys 27-7, 8 sacks for the Falcons against the Cowboys. So all three NFC East teams lost. And what that does, it makes it a little bit better for the Eagles as far as trying to win the NFC East division very early and not have to worry about playing to the very last game of the season. So we'll have to keep an eye on that as we look at the Eagles right now. 8-1, Cowboys are 5-4, Washington's 4-5, and the Giants are 1-8. The next best record in the NFC belongs to the Minnesota Vikings at 7-2 and the New Orleans Saints at 7-2 and the LA Rams are all 7-2. Seattle is getting back there at 6-3. Panthers starting to play a little bit better. They're 7-3 in the hunt as well. Then you have a rush in the middle of the pack. Teams are 5-4. You got Lions, Packers, Falcons at 5-4. Other teams are pretty much packed it in for the season. Like I said, 49ers are 1-9, won their first game. Chicago Bears 3-6. I don't think they have a shot. And the Giants are 1-8. So some teams are still playing to have at least a 500 season. I don't think a lot of those middle of the road teams are worried about making the playoffs. So we'll have to keep up with that as we go along. I need to give you an update, and I'll do that maybe a little bit later on. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. I wanted to talk about boxing, and then I saw a story, and it kind of got away from me. But, you know, that's one of the great things about technology. You click a button, you can find what you were just looking for. And, you know, it's a sad moment to report that former Muhammad Ali corner man and Showtime boxing commentator Ferdy the Fight Dr. Pacheco died at his home in Miami at the age of 89. You know, he was a pharmacist, a doctor, boxing commentator, painter, writer, you know, just an all-around, I guess you can call him a Renaissance man. He was pretty good as far as color commentary and giving insight, and one of the beloved people, icons, if you will, when it comes to the sweet science. And so, you know, when I went to look for an update on the fight from last night that was on, I think it was on ESPN, you know, seeing that just felt like a body shot, you know, because I had met Ferdy Pacheco years ago and then constantly listening to him over the years and then seeing that he has, you know, joined the ancestors now is one that really just, it just shocks you. You know, it's one of those things where it wasn't someone that I knew, you know, intimately and close. I could pick up the phone and call or go over the house or anything. But just the fact that here, once again, goes back to what I said about Roy Halladay, somebody that you watched and watched and watched. And all of a sudden, unfortunately, he is gone. So to Dr. Ferdy Pacheco's family, you know, we send up prayers for you during this rough time of the holiday season, not having, you know, your husband, father, grandfather, friend around for the holidays. It's going to be tough. But, you know, we have tons of video. We can sit back and listen to his great insights. And so we thank him for what he has given to the sweet science. So, keeping up with the sweet science, former WBC super middleweight champion Anthony the Dog Durrell had returned to the ring following a 10-month layoff, won a 6-round technical decision over Dennis Mama's Boy Dolan, 20-6, 13 KOs. Durrell now has a record of 31-1-1 draw, 24 KOs in his hometown of Flint, Michigan. So it's, you know, he's trying to get back in the hunt to get back into the picture for the super middleweight division. Like I said, I wanted to talk a lot about boxing because, you know, I enjoy the sweet science. I have a lot of memorabilia around here, whether it's Ivan Mighty Robinson's program and press credentials from when he fought Arturo Gatti in those two fights. You know, Bernard Hopkins did the drop for us several years ago. I have a picture of him right in front of me. You know, Nate Mr. Miller is a good friend of mine and going to try to get a drop from him. Just a lot of great, great boxing moments that I've, you know, been to over the years. And so we were talking about different fights that happened over the last several weeks. So we want to talk about that right now. But what I did tell you and what I wanted to do is give you a little bit of an update where we are when it comes to boxing. Because, you know, the 90s and the early 2000s of Roy Jones, Bernard Hopkins, Ivan Robinson, Felix Trinidad, De La Hoya, all those days are behind us. And now we're into a new era with a lot of the young guys. I mean, just to hear that Miguel Cotto's last fight is in 2 weeks is one of those things where you look around and say, where did the time go? You know, Danny Swift Garcia here in Philadelphia is probably one of the top names that we can keep an eye on. There are a lot of other guys that I'm working on giving you information about when it comes to the Philadelphia area, pretty much the mecca of boxing champions and boxing legends. I mean, we can go way back to Cyclone Hart, Benny Briscoe, Kitten Hayward, Gypsy Joe Harris, all those guys that came through and paved the way. You know, on and on and on and on and on. And the boxing legacy of Philadelphia is just so rich. So last week we had talked about the trivia question last week, because I was talking to a friend of mine, was who was the last person to unify the heavyweight division and be an American champion? So I was talking to Brother Oshi, and it was funny when he didn't remember that it was Riddick Bowe, because a lot of people I talked to this week had absolutely forgot about Riddick Bowe. But that goes back to, once again, the 90s. And just where we have gone when it comes to American heavyweight superiority, you know, and just having the champions. You know, for a long time, American heavyweight champions were around. You know, you had Ali, Frazier, Foreman, Norton, Tyson, Holyfield, and then it was Riddick Bowe, and then it got splintered. So it was funny, you know, just going back and reading over the notes of, you know, who it was, because it took me a minute to try to remember who was the last one. So, you know, Riddick Bowe, who had a great career, if you go back and look at his record, you know, 45 total fights, 43 wins, 33 by knockout, one loss, and one no contest. And went in the Hall of Fame, I believe it was 2005. So he just basically had a Hall of Fame career, but kind of got lost, I guess, with that whole, you know, Tyson, then Tyson goes away, Holyfield comes on the scene, just that whole dynamic of what happened in the mid-90s. And so it's just, you know, something to go back and really look at and decipher his legacy. And so he, you know, did a good job as a heavyweight and then had some issues with the WBC. And that's how we got to where we are today with the belts being splintered. And then once the Klitschkos came on the scene, the belts being splintered made it easier for them to dominate the heavyweight division. They're brothers. They don't have to fight each other. And so you have one brother with two belts. The other brother had a belt here and there. I mean, there, that whole splintering of the heavyweight championship is one that, you know, it is what it is. And so what I want to do is give you just a little bit of the boxing organizations. I have a page here about, I don't know, 7 pages and different boxing sanctioning organizations. The WBA is probably the oldest since it's been around. Since 1920, it was known as the National Boxing Association. It became the WBA in 1962. Then you had the WBC, the World Boxing Council, in 1963. The IBF, International Boxing Federation, 1983. And then the WBO, the World Boxing Organization, in 1988, are the top four that you hear about most often. And then you have other championships and organizations, the WBF, World Boxing Federation, 1988, the IBC, International Boxing Council, 1990. So, you know, you can turn the TV on one night and probably see somebody come in a ring with 4 or 5 belts and wonder exactly what that is. And so that goes back to, once again, boxing organizations being formed. But the diehard, you know, journalist, commentator, expert probably only recognize the top four. And so those are the ones, and some of the other ones are just out there. So what I want to do is tell you that currently, when it comes to current champions, how many Americans have titles? So we talked about Deontay Wilder a few weeks ago. He is the heavyweight WBC champion with a spectacular record. 39 wins, no losses, no draws, with 38 big knockouts. He's trying to get a fight with Anthony Joshua, maybe even Joseph Parker. Anthony Joshua has a WBA and IBF championships. WBO is Joseph Parker. Anthony Joshua has a record of 20-0 with 20 KOs, and Parker has a record of 24-0, 18 KOs from New Zealand. Anthony Joshua is from the United Kingdom. So they're trying to put that fight together. Anthony Joshua might be fighting Joseph Parker. So that means Joshua could have 3 belts or Parker could have 3 belts. Depends on how they sanction that fight. But I think this time next year, we have to have a Deontay Wilder, either Anthony Joshua or Joseph Parker fight. got to get back to unifying the titles. You know, when you heard Bernard Hopkins drop that says the undisputed middleweight champion, because Bernard had the IBF belt, then he got the fight with William, no, it wasn't William Joppa, it was Keith Holmes first, April of 2001. So it was WBC versus IBF. Bernard won that fight. He had two belts. William Joppa had the WBA belt, fought Trinidad, lost. Trinidad had the WBA belt, then they fought. Bernard unified the division, but once again, we're back to a splintered, undisputed middleweight championship, which I don't know when the next time we'll see that. So skipping down, we don't have any Americans with titles in the cruiserweight division. And then we go down to light heavyweight. No Americans there. Super middleweight. You have David Benavidez has the WBC belt, 19-0 with 17 KOs. Now here it's listing Andre Durrell as the interim champion. So it has Andre Durrell as interim IBF champion with James DeGale also in the picture. I don't know how that's working out. Then you have the WBA does something called the Super Champion. So George Groves from the United Kingdom is the Super Champion. Tyrone Zieg from Germany is the regular champion. Gilberto Ramirez is the WBO champion. See how confusing this can get? You know, you almost need two protractors, an abacus, and maybe four compasses in order to keep up with all the champions. Middleweight division is almost unified. Triple G, as he's called, Gennady Golovkin, has three of the four. He's the super champion of the WBA. He has the WBC, the IBF. Billy Joe Saunders of the United Kingdom has the WBO. And then Ryota Murata from Japan has the regular WBA middleweight champion. What, you know, that just makes no sense. You got a super champion, a regular champion. Are you going to have an irregular champion? I mean, come on, let's get with it. Going down to light middleweight or junior or super welterweight, whatever, you know, that's another thing that's confusing sometimes. You'll hear, you know, junior middleweight or super welterweight, you know, championships. So, in the 154-pound class, light middleweight or super welterweight, we have a lot of American champions. WBA super champion Arislandi Lara, 25-2, 14 KOs, regular champions from Argentina. Then you have Jermell Charlo, WBC champ, 30-0 with 15 KOs. He has a twin brother. And then Jared Hurd is the IBF champion. Miguel Cotto is the WBO champion, but he's going to retire. So now you're going to probably have to have a tournament to get that championship back in the mix. See how confusing this can get? But I'm trying to help you understand it. So when you're having turkey this week, you know, you can talk to people about it and go to the barbershop, hair salon, wherever you may go. You can try to make sense of this as well. Welterweight division is a little bit better, but you still have three different champions. WBO champ is Jeff Horn from Australia, 17-0, 11 KOs. Earl Spence, 22-0, 19 KOs at the IBF champ. Keith Thurman is the super champ in the WBA as well as the WBC, 20-0, 22 KOs. So there are some talks of Spence and Thurman getting together. Now, I don't know what's going on in the 140-pound class, a super lightweight or junior welterweight division, however you want to talk about it. Sergey Lipinets is the only champion. He's the IBF champion. He was on TV the other day and won a fight. Now he's 14-0 with 10 KOs, I believe. WBA, WBC, WBO titles are vacant. What's going on with that? Who knows? Skipping down to lightweight, you have two American champions. WBC is Mikey Garcia, and Robert Easter is the IBF champ. Down in the featherweight 126-pound class, Gary Russell is the WBC champ from America. Skipping down to super bantamweight 122-pound class is Jesse Magdaleno from the United States, 25-0, 18 KOs is the WBO champ. Daniel Roman is the WBA regular champion, 23-2 with only 8 KOs in the 122-pound class. Bantamweight, super flyweight, flyweight, light flyweight also do not have any champions. And the minimum weight, 105-pound, have no American representation. So that is pretty much your update when you're trying to figure out what's going on with the sweet science with boxing. And we'll try to do that, you know, maybe once a month to give you an update. As I told you, see how confusing it can be to try to keep up with what's going on with all the belts, sanctioning organizations, and weight classes. So that was just my attempt at trying to give you some clarity. Like I said, we were trying to keep an eye on what's going on with the heavyweight division. And that was where we were with that. So, 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. SaturdaySportsTalk.com is the website. Saturday Sports Talk on Facebook. On Twitter, it's SST_sports. And our email address is SaturdaySportsTalk@gmail.com. End of the second quarter. When we come back, we're going to open the floodgates on you, give you another hour of great sports news and information chocked with stats, just commentary. Your opinion, your input is definitely wanted here. We have to give you our update when it comes to Not So Intelligent NSI, as well as giving back a few other things running around when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles. We have to give you baseball awards as the World Series wrapped up a few weeks ago. The MVP and Cy Youngs have been announced. We'll give you those as well when we come back. This is SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information on time for an awakening media.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tang-a. The Saturday morning sports talk show is one of the hottest sports talk shows in America.
And welcome back to SST Saturday Sports Talk, most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I'm your host and producer, Troy Wilmore, talking about anything and everything in the sports world on your mind. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Let's wrap up the 2016-2017 baseball season, shall we? The MVP was given out this week in both the American League and National League. Jose Altuve became the second Astro to be named MVP, getting 27 first-place votes. Simply well-deserved, even though Aaron Judge from the Yankees, a lot of people thought might have had a shot. But I think when they didn't go any further into the postseason, that's probably why they gave it to Altuve. Just had an outstanding season, and so we'll see what goes forward with Altuve and the Astros. National League. Third closest vote in NL MVP history. Marlin slugger Giancarlo Stanton edged Joey Votto by 2 points. He had 59 home runs and 132 RBI season. So Giancarlo Stanton, who the Marlins are having conversations with trading, getting rid of, it's just, it is what it is. It's the salary cap and just trying to get that money to pay the players. So that's what they're trying to do, get him out of there. And so he won the National League MVP. Washington Nationals ace Max Scherzer won his second consecutive Cy Young and third in his career after posting a 16-win, 6-loss record with a career-best 2.51 ERA. Scherzer also led the National League with 268 strikeouts. So congratulations to Max Scherzer. Corey Kluber, a name that you should know, if you are deep into baseball, became the first two-time Cleveland Cy Young Award winner with an 18-4 season, Major League Baseball leading 2.25 earned run and 265 strikeouts. He went 15-2 after June the 1st with a 1.62 ERA. Imagine if they get some more arms and better defense and some bats around Corey Kluber. He'll be the ace of the staff and possibly going after a World Series title the next year or two to come. The managers of the year, American League Manager of the Year, Paul Molitor at the helm. The Twins became the first team to go from losing 100 games one season to the postseason the next, becoming the second Hall of Famer to win this honor. So congratulations to Paul Molitor, former, if my memory serves me correctly, Milwaukee Brewer. So Paul Molitor, now the head of the Minnesota Twins. National League Manager of the Year. In his first year as a big league skipper, Tory Lavullo oversaw a 24-game turnaround in Arizona, leading the Diamondbacks to 93 wins in their first postseason appearance since 2011. So congratulations to Tory Lavullo of the National League. National League Rookie of the Year, Cody Bellinger. Took him 132 games to set the National League rookie record with 39 home runs, become the second consecutive Dodger and 18th overall to win the National League honor. And like I said, in the American League, it was going to be somebody, and happened to be the Judge. Yankee slugger Aaron Judge set a rookie record with American League leading 52 home runs, scoring 128 runs while driving in 114 RBIs. To win the unanimous Rookie of the Year. Going down to the Aaron Awards. The Astros' first Aaron Award winner, Jose Altuve, led the majors with .346 average, 24 home runs, 112 runs, and 32 steals. So congratulations to him. I have to get more information on what the Aaron Awards are. I'm guessing they have to be named after Hank Aaron. So that is one we will be able to give you a little bit later on. Silver Slug Awards, not really that important. Just tells you how good the players are when it comes to hitting. And Defensive Player of the Year Awards, no Phillies represented. Having good defense is definitely a plus. The Roberto Clemente Award, and we'll put this as far as giving back the segment that we do here. Chicago Cubs slugger Anthony Rizzo was named winner of the Clemente Award, which recognized those who best represent the game through positive contributions on and off the field, including sportsmanship and community involvement. He donated over $4 million to hospitals this year. So it's one where Anthony Rizzo, who created the Anthony Rizzo Family Foundation in 2012, just is one of those players that takes a cause, runs with it, and tries their best to help those that have issues. So congratulations to Anthony Rizzo. August 29th, the Anthony Rizzo Family Foundation made a $3.5 million donation to the Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, and in September pledged another $650,000 to the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center at the University of Miami Health System. So congratulations to Anthony Rizzo on winning the Clemente Award and for giving back here on SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. It was also one of the stories we meant to highlight when we were talking about boxing. And that, like I said, we're just trying to get back into the flow of keeping up with things going on in the sweet science. But the fight last week that Daniel Jacobs had was just a small one on the radar compared to the one he had in real life. They call him the Miracle Man. He's 27 years of age. He's a little bit older now. He's 30 now. But he had cancer 2 years ago. Actually, no, it's a little bit longer than that. The story's a little bit older. But what it is about Daniel Jacobs is the fact that he took a personal issue and kept on fighting. He didn't give up. And to have his son with him, they showed the video package before the fight of him having his son at the gym and how everybody enjoys him being around. So him being a role model for his son is something that he enjoys doing. You can see the smile on his face. But the fact that he beat cancer and continues to fight and use that platform and to be a role model, not just for his son, but for anyone. He didn't let his condition, his disease, stop him. And he won his fight last week. Good fight. Rough and tough. Just kept on going and won his fight easily. So big ups to Daniel Jacobs, who continues to fight on. So a lot of things going on when it comes to the world of sports. 215-490-9832. As I was scrolling through some of the stories, I saw the name of De La Hoya and I forgot about it. Oscar De La Hoya is talking about trying to fight Conor McGregor. Now, we all know Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather had a big fight in August. Mayweather just controlled the fight. You know, McGregor tried to do what he tried to do, to think that whatever he was going to do was going to win. But I think a lot of people knew that a boxer who has been boxing all their life would be better suited against a mixed martial artist, because the mixed martial artist has other disciplines they use in their fights, and they're in a cage and they're barefooted. So there are a lot of different little things that if I was a betting person, I probably would have bet on Mayweather as well. But since I couldn't control that outcome, there were some people who were talking about, well, McGregor might win the fight and then they set up another fight and make more money. You know, when you start hearing those conspiracy theories, it makes you wonder, like, could that even be possible? Would they even do that? So I said, no, I'm not betting on the fight. And I don't remember what the odds were. So you probably have to put down $100 to make $200. I wasn't going for all that. So now Oscar De La Hoya is talking about fighting McGregor coming out of retirement. I think De La Hoya is 44 now, and he wants to just, I can't say he wants to get a payday, because when it comes to boxing, the training that you have to go through is one that I would say compares probably to no other sport. You know, I mean, yes, you can say the triathlon because you have three disciplines of swimming, running, and biking. You know, other sports you have to train for. But boxing is one where, you know, you constantly watch your weight. You're away from your family and friends for 6 to 8 weeks. A lot of times people go up to Big Bear in California or high altitudes, and they're constantly every day training for that fight. So now De La Hoya has been out of boxing from a physical standpoint as far as lacing up the gloves and the boots and putting on the trunks for, I want to say, 3 years now, maybe a little bit longer. So you look at the great fights that Oscar had, and Oscar may weigh, what, 180, maybe 200 pounds now. So if he has to get down, say, to super middleweight, that's a 12, 15-pound drop. Oscar is 39 and 6 with 30 KOs. He's 44 years of age. He actually fought in 2008. Yeah, Oscar fighting McGregor, I doubt it. I doubt it. You're talking about 9 years. I don't know if Oscar is halfway in shape. You know, getting up at, say, 4 a.m. and having to run, going in the ring, shadow boxing, speed bag, heavy bag, hitting the mitts. I don't see it. I really don't see it. I don't see it. He said he's been secretly training, and he's preparing to come out of retirement. He said 2 rounds. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Because depending on how long Oscar's been doing it, you figure that's coming up. That's almost 9 years of laying off. And now you want to restart. I don't think it's for a payday. I mean, he has Golden Boy Promotions, has several world-class fighters under his umbrella. I don't know if it's to take the shield of boxing and, you know, close the mouth of all those mixed martial artists. Those mixed martial artists that say that they can fight. I mean, we saw what Mayweather did with McGregor. So, only time will tell if De La Hoya is in shape, if McGregor's going to take the fight, if the fans want to see the fight. I know I wouldn't pay for the fight, but I really can't see it happening. I could be wrong. We'll see. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I was going to go over this whole Roger Goodell, Jerry Jones contract negotiations, but we'll hold that for another time. They have a meeting coming up December 13th. A lot of other details will come out before then, so we have some time to talk about that. That's not that important. So we'll get to those other things a little bit later on. But let me take the time to tell you about one of our sponsors. That is Integrity Real Estate. Right now, they are at the Integrity Real Estate offices. They're having a first-time home buyer seminar. And I told you, and will continue to tell you, of how great the staff is. And my wife and I purchased the house, and how we approached them and let them know we were looking at houses. And, you know, they asked you about how much and what are you pre-qualified for with the mortgage. They didn't rush us. We probably looked at maybe 10 houses, maybe a few more. But the entire staff of real estate agents that Trent Pettis has at Integrity Real Estate, they're simply phenomenal. They took their time with us. They let us know what days we could go for those properties. where people still lived there and showed the house to us. And then there were properties that were vacant and what needed to be seen. And so there was no rush. They were never saying, okay, if you start looking at August, we need to close this deal by September. I don't even remember when we started. I know we ended up in October a few years ago, but there was never any rush, no pressure. You know, a lot of people that you go to that were trying to sell their homes that were still there, of course, would tell you, okay, well, let's do this. Well, let's do that. You know, trying to rush you. Meanwhile, a real estate agent was outside and, you know, just being patient and gave us some insider tips as far as looking at the neighborhoods and different times to ride around, different things to look at. And that's one of the things I respect about Integrity Real Estate. They understand that buying or selling a home is more than just a transaction. It's a life-changing experience. Their team of highly seasoned real estate professionals is dedicated to providing exceptional personalized service for all of their clients. They take great pride in the relationships they build and always work relentlessly on the client's behalf to help them achieve their real estate goals. Their philosophy is simple. Clients come first. They pledge to be in constant communication with their clients, keeping them fully informed throughout the entire buying or selling process. They believe that if you're not left with an amazing experience, they have not done their job. They don't measure success through achievements or awards, but through the satisfaction of their clients. And I agree with that. 215-849-1111. 215-849-1111. I was on Facebook the other day and saw a person was talking about purchasing a home. So I sent them a message. I said, if you're looking for someone, let me know. I'm going to point them to Integrity Real Estate. Integrity still matters to Integrity Real Estate. That is something going forward 2017, 2018 and beyond that you have to have. And so I'm thankful that Integrity Real Estate is a sponsor of SST Saturday Sports Talk. Make sure you call them 215-849-1111. Tell them I told you to call. You will be pleased with the professionalism that they provide when it comes to making one of the biggest decisions of your life, buying a home, and just being happy that you can say it's your home, or if you're a couple, our home. 215-849-1111. Tell them I told you to call. One of the other things that we can talk about, that I want to talk about, is Ezekiel Elliott, running back for the Dallas Cowboys, has finally accepted his suspension, is not going to appeal anymore, served the suspension last week of the Falcons game that was imposed by the judge. But now he said, forget it. I'm going to take the suspension, full six games. Next time he can come back will be Christmas Eve against the Seattle Seahawks. The hearing was scheduled for December 1st, but he said, you know what? That's it. I'll just take the suspension. Some have said that he's not even in the country. And so he is taking some time off. He is training, probably running on a beach somewhere, probably just relaxing and just trying to get his mind right. And hopefully realizes that going forward, he can't let this happen. Not only for him, but also for his teammates. This hurts his reputation. This hurts his financial situation. Not much, but you're not out there earning a paycheck for the next 6 weeks. Now, I'm sure he has money in reserve because his contract had a signing bonus and all of those things attached to it. So I'm more than sure he's not hurting for it. But being considered one of the best running backs in the game, that's your reputation. But not playing because of being accused of domestic violence is one where it can just damage your character. It can impact your endorsements. Imagine, if you will, being in a spokesperson for several franchises and products and being able to just get paychecks like that, use those for your expenses, and all your game checks that you get go into your savings, go into your portfolio. That's good income. That's very good income. So that's what Ezekiel Elliott is facing now. So it started in July 2016. A former girlfriend accused him of domestic violence over multiple days when he was in Columbus, Ohio. Authorities in Ohio chose not to press charges. The NFL conducted a 13-month investigation, and they had persuasive evidence that he committed domestic violence, which led to a 6-game suspension. Of course, Ezekiel Elliott said he was innocent. We don't know. Now, obviously, the NFL found something that levied the suspension on him. So, you know, one side says, we got evidence. The other side says, well, I'm innocent. 6 games. What I want you to do for the next few minutes, 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832, you are the commissioner. You tell me if whether or not you agree with the 6-game suspension, and or would you have that type of punishment for domestic violence. The personal conduct policy from the NFL in 2016 came out, and they have a very long list of things that players are not supposed to do. Here are just a few of them. Illegal possession, use, or distribution of alcohol or drugs. Possession, use, or distribution of steroids or other performance-enhancing substances. Crimes involving cruelty to animals as defined by state or federal law. Actual or threatened physical violence against another person, including dating violence, domestic violence, child abuse, and other forms of family violence. Assault and or battery, including sexual assault, other sex offenses. There are a lot of other things on here I won't get to. But how do you feel about that? Is six games enough? Should it be 4 games? Should it be 8? How about a whole season? 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Also, there was a story done by Martenzie Johnson for The Undefeated. I think Undefeated is a branch of ESPN, if I'm not mistaken. Colin Kaepernick. Once again, this is another branch on the tree of Colin Kaepernick and the injustice that people feel as though he is being involved with, of not having a job. The 42 quarterbacks who have signed since Colin Kaepernick became a free agent. So Colin Kaepernick had 12,271 yards, 72 touchdowns. Didn't have a great record. He had 28 wins, 30 losses. But I'm going to read some of the quarterbacks that were signed while Colin Kaepernick is still not signed. Kellen Clemens of the LA Chargers has a winning record of 8 wins, 13 losses, signed on March 9th. Josh McCown, New York Jets, 18 wins, 42 losses. EJ Manuel, Oakland Raiders, 6 wins, 11 losses. Aaron Murray of the LA Rams has nothing. He was signed March 22nd. Garrett Gilbert, signed by the Carolina Panthers, has nothing. So in other words, he's not even played a game in the NFL. Mark Sanchez, Chicago Bears. Yes, that Mark Sanchez. Used to be with the Eagles. He signed. David Fales of the Dolphins. Matt McGloin signed with the Eagles, but I think he's with another franchise. Had 1 win, 6 losses. Alex Torgerson of the Falcons. Sefo Luofau of the Buccaneers. There are a laundry list of quarterbacks that don't have near the experience of a Colin Kaepernick that were signed. Cooper Rush, Dallas Cowboys, Skylar Howard, Seattle Seahawks, Tyler Ferguson, Tennessee Titans, Taysom Hill, Green Bay Packers. The list goes on and on and on. The only person that has more wins or losses, I think, on this list is Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick is, you know, a journeyman quarterback. Jay Cutler, 68 wins, 71 losses, signed with the Dolphins for $10 million. This list is, I didn't even look at this list until today. I honestly did not want to really get upset, but now the more that I'm reading it, I'm ticked off. Brandon Weeden, Tennessee Titans, 6 wins, 19 losses. Brian Hoyer, New England Patriots, 16 wins, 21 losses. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Matt Barkley of the Cardinals. Now, I'm not saying these guys are bad quarterbacks, but when you're comparing quarterbacks, there's no reason why those quarterbacks should have been signed before Colin Kaepernick. It is just simply ridiculous. That's why Colin Kaepernick had to sue the NFL saying collusion. Because I think he knows, people that know football know, half of those quarterbacks shouldn't have been signed, if not maybe two-thirds. 30 years of age. Unemployed. Because he wanted to make a change, make a difference. He had an awakening. He looked in the mirror one day and decided, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make a difference. And he's being punished for it. So to all those owners, general managers, coaches, commissioner, shame on you. And I understand why people aren't watching football, not supporting the advertisers because of this. I get it. I'm not supporting most of the advertisers. Some of the products I've already been using. And I guess I could probably try to find other products to supplement the ones that are advertising on NFL games. And I have to take a deep look at that. I use one of the insurance agencies that advertises. Been doing that for years. You know, we talked about the pizza guy. I haven't had one of his pizzas in months. And now that he's come out against this, not so much directly, but indirectly, I probably won't eat his pizza ever again. You know, we talked about the check cashing place. I don't go to check cashing places anyway. I did when I was younger, but not anymore. And you shouldn't either, really. Because they're taking a percentage of money that you earned. Go to a bank. Go to a credit union. I'm not going to tell you which bank. I'm not going to tell you what credit union. But get an account. Why give somebody a piece of your money you earned? They didn't do anything to do it. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We'll be back for the fourth quarter. Tell you, time flies. Right after this.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
The Saturday morning sports talk show is one of the hottest sports talk shows in America.
And welcome back to the fourth and final quarter. All right, Chill Moody, you had your time. Get off there. You've had a great show here so far. Going into the fourth quarter here on SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I am your host, Troy Wilmore, talking about anything and everything that may be on your sports mind. Real quick on the Eagles. Ronald Darby, cornerback who had a dislocated ankle, looks like he'll be ready to go tomorrow. Will Beatty, left tackle, used to be with the Giants, was signed this week, as well as Danelle Ellerby, a linebacker. So we will see what goes on with the Eagles and how much they're going to sprinkle in some of the new talent. Jay Ajayi played well a few weeks ago, so I'm more than sure they're going to have the two-headed or maybe even three-headed attack with the running backs, with Blunt, Ajayi, and Clement. So we will keep an eye on that tomorrow night when 30 other teams are watching as the 8-1 Eagles come off a bye week, taking on rival NFC East foe, second place team Dallas Cowboys. We'll see what goes on with that. I'll give you the rest of the schedule for the NFL tomorrow in just a minute. But give you some history. Are you ready? You might want to pull your car over because I don't want you to have an issue. If you're about to sip that latte or cappuccino or coffee or tea, you have to put that down. I'm going to give you something you probably never heard before, something that I'm happy to hear about. I'm not sure if they're going to win a gold medal in the upcoming Winter Olympics, but it's history. Nigerian women's bobsled team makes Winter Olympics history. It will mark the first time a men or women's African team is represented in the category. Yes, Nigerian women's bobsled team making the Winter Olympics. I'm so happy for them. I don't know if they're going to win or not, but the fact that they made the Winter Olympics, an African country, so I'm happy for them. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Talking about anything in the world of sports. You know, they talked about the Jamaican team years ago from Cool Runnings, the movie, making it to the Winter Olympics in bobsled. But now the Nigerian women are the first African country to make the Winter Olympics. I'm going to have to talk to my good friend, Dr. Olu Ifadayibi, to help me with the pronunciation of these Nigerian women's names. I don't want to butcher them. I want to give them their props. So I'll talk to him about that, and we'll talk about that next week. Okay. Looks like there's something going on there with that, but I don't know if that's good or bad. So we'll just keep going with the program. That looks okay. That looks okay as well. All right. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Talking about anything in the world of sports. Before I get to the high school football in this area, because we have great rivalries over Thanksgiving, I was going through one of my books. It was the New York Times Sport of the Times, a day-by-day selection of the most important, thrilling, and inspired events of the past 150 years. This book was out, let's see, what year was this book published? 2003. So it's kind of dated, but if you go back and listen to the title, Sports of the Times, so it's sports stories from the New York Times. The most important, thrilling, inspired events of the past 150 years. So, you know, you can look down and see what the headline is, and then you can go and talk about those days in history. For example, November 17th, 1956, Jim Brown's farewell, touchdowns. Jim Brown, in 1957 Cotton Bowl, scored 21 of Syracuse points on three touchdowns and three extra point kicks in the 28-27 loss to Texas Christian. Wow. 1956. The runners-up, November 17th, 1968, was the Heidi game between the Raiders and the Jets. Score was 32-29 with a minute 5 to play. NBC TV left the game to broadcast the movie Heidi. Oakland scored twice in the final 42 seconds to win 43-32, and people watching the game were upset. So that is something that you can talk about when you're out and about over the next several days. Let's go to the phones, 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Good morning, you're on SST Saturday Sports Talk.
Mr. Wilmore.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing, sir?
I'm all right, and you, Brother Elliot?
I'm all right. Listen, I don't know whether you had a chance to talk about the Sixers' big game tonight against Golden State.
Yeah, I touched on it a little bit. I said how they got beat last week. I said tonight might be a little different, being at home, probably a sold-out crowd. You know, things happen when you have the fans behind you and supporting you. So it may be a closer game. Who knows? Maybe even an upset.
Well, you know, Troy, let me give my opinion on this. Because I don't like Brett Brown. I don't like his coaching style. I think that the game will be different tonight for one reason. I think since that Sacramento Kings game, Joel Embiid has had a wake-up call.
Yes, he has.
After that game, he was interviewed by one of the Sixers announcers. And he stated, he said, well, the coach gave me the green light to shoot threes. He said, I haven't been hitting threes. So, you know, I think I'll do better going into the low post. Now, after that, the Clippers game, when he manhandled DeAndre Jordan, who's arguably one of the best defensive centers in the game.
Yes.
And then what he did to the Lakers. Now, he's going in the paint basically on his own. Brett Brown really doesn't have any post plays that he calls. In fact, he don't want anybody in the post. That's why Jahlil Okafor doesn't play.
Right.
But he's kind of made this decision on his own to do this. And this is going to really change this team tremendously. I mean, you see what they've been doing the past couple games. I think they're going to beat Golden State tonight if he plays like that, because Pachulia and the backup center, McGee, they can't deal with Embiid.
No, not too many people can.
I'm just glad that he's decided that I need to go in the post. There's nothing wrong with him shooting a three occasionally, but he was shooting five, maybe six threes in a game. That's, Brett Brown doesn't mind that. He wants a post center that'll shoot three-pointers. And if you go to the basket, he wants you to slash off pick and roll, similar to what they do in Houston.
Yes.
But I don't like Brown. I just hope he gets out of there and they get a real coach.
Yeah, I agree. And that's one of the things that I've been saying all along, is that a coach sometimes can't help you win, but they can help you lose by the plays that they're drawing up. I mean, let's look at what he's done the last three games. Embiid played 25 minutes, had 12 points against the Warriors. Then against the Clippers, he had 36 minutes, 32 points with 16 rebounds, so which means he's close to the basket. Against the Lakers, he was just playing out of his mind. 34 minutes, he had 46 points, two threes, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 blocks. So he's playing much better when he's in the post. You know, he's grabbing rebounds. Guys are trying to come down there with that garbage, and he's blocking it. The guy is 7 feet tall. Keep him down in the block. Can you imagine Wilt Chamberlain playing at half court? Put the man where he's supposed to be. That's why the Sixers are struggling.
You know, he seems to have supposedly basketball at the Colangelo's, but I don't understand why he doesn't understand that he'd be more effective calling plays for him in the box. And plus, I don't understand the reason why Jahlil Okafor doesn't play. I think it's personal. It's got to be. It can't be a basketball decision that you can't put this man that was number 3 pick in the draft, that is very talented. He showed it in his rookie year.
That's right.
And he can't find any minutes for him. And then they keep saying that they're trying to trade him. I don't know of any basketball team professionally that have traded for the 13th man on anybody's team. And they play him like he's the 12th or the 13th man on the team. He doesn't play.
Right.
So
I don't understand
it. He's asked to have his contract voided. The Sixers are not going to do it. He said Colangelo told him that, we'd be giving you away for nothing. But at this point, if you're not playing him.
Now you're paying him for nothing.
Lose him anyway.
Right. You're paying him for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was a pine, bench, he has splinters where he's sitting. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Oh, boy. Troy, I enjoyed the show, man.
All right, Brother Elliot, let people know when you're on.
Oh, we'll be on tomorrow at 7 in the evening.
All right, and that's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Reggie.
Richard.
Brother Richard.
Reggie's on hiatus.
Oh, Reggie, you better get off a hiatus, man. Somebody going to take your spot. All right, Brother Elliot. Later. Thanks for the call. Right. That's Brother Elliot from Time for an Awakening. He and Brother Richard tomorrow night, 7 p.m. right here on Time for an Awakening Media. Tune in. I'm telling you, sometimes I sit back and I listen and I just shake my head and I agree with what they're saying because they do the homework, the research, and give you top quality information and give you opinions and news that you can use. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Yeah, we were talking about Brett Brown, the Sixers, and the coaching. And it still boggles my mind that you have a person that's 7 feet tall, probably have a wingspan of another 2 feet, and you're playing him to shoot threes? I mean, 12 feet and in, to me, is where a 7-footer of Embiid's talent should be. Maybe a little bit higher out, but... You know, you start kicking the ball down to him, they'll double team and collapse. He can kick the ball out to the shooters and just have fun. But then once they realize the shooters are getting off, then they have to play him straight up. I don't think there's a center right now in the game that can really hang with Embiid. Maybe one or two, maybe. What do you think? 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. SaturdaySportsTalk.com, SaturdaySportsTalk at gmail.com, SaturdaySportsTalk on Facebook, SST underscore sports on Twitter, all the ways you can reach us right here on Time for an Awakening Media, SST Saturday Sports Talk. Real quick before we run out the door, high school football in the area, 41-7, Imhotep Charters on their way to the state playoffs. They just demolished Cardinal O'Hara the other day. I think it was last night, as a matter of fact. Then you have all your Turkey Bowl games. And I saw one of the games where Central Northeast, they normally play on Thanksgiving. So I'm not sure why, when I looked at the schedule, they're not playing on Thanksgiving. I could be wrong. But it looked like I think Northeast was scheduled to play today. So I guess maybe they're in playoff hunt as well. So we'll be looking to see where that goes. But, of course, the game I'm looking forward to, the results will be Overbrook beating West Philly next Thursday at West Philadelphia's field at 48th and Spruce. That's right. I'm talking smack to all you West Philly High people. You're nice people. Nice people. But you just went to that school. Everybody knows the Hilltoppers, the Castle on the Hill, next Thursday are going to make me proud, make me happy. I'm going to be able to come back next Saturday and give you a great report. And if by some chance Overbrook doesn't win against West Philly, I'll just eat a piece of humble pie and say I was wrong and give West Philly their props. That's what real respectable sports fans do. They talk smack up until the game. At the end of the day, when the game is over, win, lose, or draw, we give props what props are due. Plain and simple. For example, I'm an Eagles fan. Born and raised in Philadelphia. I love all Philadelphia teams. Eagles are playing the Cowboys tomorrow night. National television. I have a few wagers out with some people that are Cowboys fans. So I've already let them know that I want my chicken. We bet nice, healthy chicken. So if by some chance the Eagles were to lose, which I don't think will happen, I will gladly and reluctantly go and purchase those chickens for those fans. However, when the Eagles smash the Cowboys, as I've told some people, I expect my chicken as well. That's what you're supposed to do. Win, lose, or draw, stand up for your team. You ride out your team, ride or die. That's that. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. So as I try to find some of these Turkey Bowl games that will be coming up next week, Germantown and King used to play, but when they closed the Germantown High School, that rivalry also has gone away. I believe Bartram plays Southern is, I think, the other one. And there are a few others, which is a Thanksgiving tradition here in the Delaware Valley. So I'll try to get that to you before the end of the day. Let me tell you, as you're coming up on the holiday season and you need someone to give you live audio or some music and just an all-around great entertainment experience, you need to call Arnold and Nazla Mitchell at Party Savers. They both hold bachelor's degrees in business. They will discuss an array of affordable packages and find a package to serve your every need for that special occasion. They provide a DJ and full quality sound at an affordable price. And the company is a DJ dispatch service, which means when a person needs a DJ, whether it's a big or small event, all they have to do is call one number, 215-315-3336. 215-315-3336. Party Savers will handle everything else. They offer several different DJ packages to allow customers to pick and choose what they can afford. One of their 15 professional DJs will arrive prior to the event, dressed appropriately and prepared to set up. All products and services will be top of the line. Party Savers, 215-315-3336, 215-315-3336. I have used Party Savers. I will use Party Savers. And I know people that have used Party Savers. We all agree. Party Savers is who you need, whether it's live sound or DJing, any event. Call Party Savers, 215-315-3336, 215-315-3336. Almost out of time, and I think I had another 10 stories I wanted to mention to you that I probably won't get to, which means I'll be upset all week at myself, but that just means that I'll bring it to you next week. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Talking about anything in the world of sports. Your brother Elliot called, and we were talking about how Brett Brown's coaching style and strategy are one that make you scratch your head and wonder why he's coaching the way that he is. It makes you want to go back and look at some film when Joel Embiid was down at the University of Kansas and how he was coached down there and why they're not doing the same thing here. He was very dominant when he was there. So why not use the same model that seems to have worked? Like I said, last week he played 25 minutes, had 12 points, 7 rebounds against the Warriors. Against the Clippers, he played 36 minutes, had 32 points, 16 rebounds. Against the Lakers, he had 34 minutes played, 46 points, and 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 blocks. Simply a phenomenal game, an historic game, because I do believe that was the first time in history that that ever happened. So imagine that. The NBA has been around forever, and yet Joel Embiid had one of those monster games that was never done before. So the man is 7 feet. Like I said, his wingspan is probably another 2 feet. Put him in the paint. Back to the basket. Maybe he can face up as well. But put the man down in the paint. Down in the low block, as they call it. And let him go to work. Yes, he does shoot threes. He doesn't look bad doing it. But if nobody can hold him defensively down in a low block, let him go to work. Plain and simple. I don't see why it's so hard to do. So let's see. It says here that the 46 points, most by a Philadelphia player in 11 years, grabbed 15 rebounds when he beat the Lakers, had 7 assists, 7 blocks, making him the first NBA player with 40 points, 7 assists, and 7 blocks in a game since Dr. J did it in 1982. So you're talking 35 years. The last time a player scored 46 points, Allen Iverson did it almost 11 years ago. So I'm telling you, coaches sometimes can't help you win, but making bad decisions can definitely help you lose. Real quick, let me give you college football, because we didn't even talk about college football today. We did mention a little bit about college basketball, but college football is getting hotter and hotter because of the playoff run. Number one, Alabama plays Mercer today at 12 o'clock. Mercer has a record of 5-5. Alabama probably will call off the dogs about halftime. That game could be a blowout. Mississippi State has a tough game against rival Arkansas, 7-3, playing Arkansas, a record of 4-6. Always a tough game. Auburn has a record of 8-2, playing University of Louisiana Monroe at 12 o'clock. TCU plays Texas Tech at 12 o'clock. Northwestern plays Minnesota at 12 o'clock. Number 5, Wisconsin, trying to get into that position of being one of those top teams. Undefeated, 10-0, taking on Michigan, 8-2 at 12 o'clock. Number 3, Miami, has bought out the turnover chain. They are 9-0, taking on Virginia, 6-4. Game that's going to start in about 5 minutes down at Lincoln Financial Field. Temple versus University of Central Florida. Temple record 5-5, looking for the big upset to knock University of Central Florida back down the rankings. Let's hope that they can do that. I think today is homecoming, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe homecoming happened. I don't remember. Memphis 8-1. They're 21 ranked, taking on SMU at 12 o'clock. Clemson is 9-1. They're trying to hold on to that number 2 ranking, taking on the Citadel at 12-20. Georgia has a record of 9-1. They're number 7, taking on Kentucky. Oklahoma State, a record 8-2, trying to move up, taking on Kansas State. Oklahoma's number 4. They're trying to move into that top 3. They have a record of 9-1, taking on Kansas 1-9. They would probably call off the dogs by halftime as well. Notre Dame takes on Navy, 8-2. Notre Dame trying to get back into the hunt. They were in the top 5 at one time. They fell off just a little bit. Ohio State also was in that conversation. They're 8-2, taking on Illinois. Michigan State, number 17 ranked, takes on Maryland. Number 10, Penn State, takes on Nebraska, so we're going to hope that Penn State can move back into the top spotlight. LSU takes on Tennessee tonight. LSU is ranked number 20, record 7-3. NC State ranked 19th. They're 7-3, taking on Wake Forest. A few other teams trying to move up. USC is 9-2, taking on rival UCLA tonight at 8 o'clock. Stanford, 7-3, taking on Cal. Boise State still trying to get back into the conversation, record 8-2. Taking on Air Force tonight, and University of Washington taking on Utah, 8-2 as well. That's going to just about do it for us here on SST Saturday Sports Talk. We never really got into our Philadelphia Hall of Fame conversation I wanted to get to, but, you know, it's just one of those things that we can always talk about that, because that is an ongoing project. Philadelphia Hall of Fame is actually an outstanding organization, and they are looking to have a brick-and-mortar facility some point soon. And we'll get back to that conversation later on as well. Thanksgiving is coming up this week. You know, Thanksgiving is a holiday, whatever. Every day you give thanks, plain and simple. So I know there are going to be football games around the Delaware Valley in high school, college games that Friday, a couple pro games as well. Make sure you tune in and enjoy it. Sixers play the Warriors tonight. Flyers about to hit the ice in about an hour, taking on Calgary Flames. Hopefully they can right the ship. College basketball in the area, college football, as I mentioned. So many great things to keep an eye on, and be back here next Saturday to discuss them with us. Remember, you can catch us all week at SaturdaySportsTalk.com, SaturdaySportsTalk@gmail.com, on Facebook at Saturday Sports Talk, and on Twitter at @SST_sports. So until we talk next week, just want you to have a great day. And until then, take care.
The mission has been completed.
You don't want to let anything sneak through the cracks. You don't want to forget anything. You don't want to miss anything. You want to be perfect on that day. Because in life, you don't get a lot of chances to be a champion.
No one can do it better.
I have to compliment Troy on the job he did.
One of the best in the business.
The only thing I want people to realize is that when you fight a Philadelphia fighter that has the Philadelphia heart, you cannot break their spirit. The business couldn't break my spirit. The ghetto couldn't break my spirit. The penitentiary couldn't break my spirit. That's a man, not an athlete. I'm a man first.